But tonight we're looking at it. Our passage we'll look at will be in Romans chapter 1. We'll look at verse 14 through 16. And as we look at this passage, and we look at it and I think about what this passage is talking about and getting an understanding of it, of course, it's talking about, especially the first part of it, talking about debt, right? And debt's a word that I don't think anybody just loves to hear, just debt right off the bat. Like, having a debt, I don't think anybody just says, you know what, I hope I have a lot of debt. Not something that comes to mind, you know what, debts. But debts become common today. It's become something to where it's not uncommon to hear of somebody having debt. It's not uncommon to hear of, yeah, well, we took out a loan for this or we did this. Debt can be a dangerous thing, right? I've seen it just through different people. I haven't experienced in my own life a lot of debt, but I can see where it destroys lives and destroys families. And anytime you think of debt, it's thought of in a negative way. No one wants to be in debt. And I think of it even from the simplest version of it, and I'll see it especially with kids sometimes. It'll be, well, if you'll do this for me, I'll give you a dollar next week. That is, like, I hear it probably at least every other week, either in junior church, at Christian school I teach a class at. Yeah, I hear it somewhere every week. I mean, that exact phrase. If you'll do this or if you'll give me this, I'll give you a dollar next week. And that's the simplest form of debt, right? Of course, in the grand scheme of things, is that dollar going to mean anything to either one of those kids? No, they're probably going to just waste it on a Coke or waste it on gumballs in the gumball machine down in the gym or something, get some quarters with it. That debt means really nothing, but I think that's where debt a lot of times starts, is kids just get used to, hey, I'll borrow money and I'll pay it back. But the debt we're going to talk about tonight is going to be a different kind of debt. And as we look at verse number 14, the Apostle Paul's writing, and he says, I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. And so when we look at Paul in this passage, in this opening verse, right, he says, I am a debtor, right, having a debt. He owes something to these groups of people. And the first thing we look at, you know what, is that Paul's debt, it didn't matter who they are. It didn't matter who the group of people was. You know what, he says, I am a debtor both to the Greeks and the barbarians. And looking up, you know, who are the Greeks? Of course, Greeks are Gentiles, non-Jewish, who spoke the Greek language, right? Pretty simple. But the barbarians, which, of course, anytime I've just heard that word, you just immediately think of something crazy. But when you actually look up what the barbarians would be in Scripture, you know, it's people who are considered non-Greek or non-Roman, of course, not Jewish, often perceived as uncivilized or foreign. You know, my immediate thought of a barbarian is just somebody that goes to war and destroys everything and crazy. But the reality is the definition that's given for them isn't necessarily that. I mean, of course, some would fall in that category, but it really is just somebody that's maybe considered uncivilized, which, you know, of course, we could consider some people that we see today uncivilized, right, and things that they do. And, of course, are foreign, you know, somebody that just wasn't from there. So Paul says, you know what, I'm a debtor to both these groups of people. And the immediate thought, of course, would be, well, how's Paul a debtor to them? And we'll get through it in this passage. We'll see what he's talking about. But he's not talking about a financial debt. He's not talking about, you know, I owe money to these groups of people. It goes on in the second part of that verse. It goes on the second part. And it says, both to the wise and the unwise. Right? So it didn't matter, first of all, who they were. It didn't matter how they acted. You know, the wise and the unwise, of course, I think everyone can fit into that category even today. You know, there's plenty of wise people that you'll come across, but there are a lot of unwise people that you come across in life. You know, and through that, you'll see in this passage where Paul talks about it, and he says that, you know, I'm a debtor to these people. But what kind of debt is Paul talking about? Ultimately, as we continue down in this passage, we'll see that Paul's talking about the debt that he owes is telling them about the gospel, right? Because Christ has done so much for Paul in his life. He says that, you know what? I owe this to other people. You know what? I have to go and tell other people about Christ because that's what I owe them. And so we saw, first of all, you know what? Paul's debt to the people, right? He says that I am a debtor. It's very clear. And in verse number 15, we'll look at it here in a second, but we see Paul's desire to tell others about Christ. And it says in verse number 15, so as much as in me is, as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome also. We see, first of all, his inward desire. Paul had an inward desire for the gospel to go all around the world. He had that desire, and I forgot to mention it, of course, during the prayer time and announcements, but, of course, we're about to have Faith Promise coming up Sunday, and I would ask you to go ahead and be praying for what the Lord would have you give to Faith Promise this year for missions, and that's our way of holding the rope while others go and share the gospel all around the world. So I would ask you to be praying for that, and they'll hand out those cards Sunday, and then the following Sunday we'll have Mission Sunday, and Brother Archie come in to preach. But Paul had this inward desire for everyone to hear the gospel. It was an inward desire. It was truly what he wanted. As Christians, we should have a desire to tell others about Christ. It should be kind of ingrained in us once we've accepted that gift of salvation. And I don't think it's possible for us to be a Christian, spending time in God's word, spending time praying with God, and not have a desire for others to hear about it. Right? If God's truly saved us and he's truly forgiven our sins, we should want others to have the same thing. And you know what, not trying to stand up here tonight and say, you know what, if you're not doing it, you're wrong and you're a terrible person, but that should be a desire that's in our heart. Now sometimes we have desires and we don't act on them. And that's a different situation, that's a different story. But as Christians, we should have an inward desire, just like the Apostle Paul did, to share the gospel with other people. And if we started treating it like a debt that we owed, right? If we started treating it like when God saved me, you know what? I actually owe God telling others about him. That would probably change the way that we perceive it and the way that we go about it. Of course, that's not the situation. But just like the Apostle Paul, he was under conviction. He said, you know what? God's done so much for me. Look at what he saved me from. I have to go tell other people. And if I had that same mindset in my mind, I would share the gospel a lot more than what I do. You know, and I don't stand up here saying I'm perfect at this and I'm excellent at it. I do it all the time. But as a Christian, I know that I need to do better. You know, I think we could all agree with that and say, you know what, I could do more. Right? And that's the Apostle Paul saying that, you know what, I have this desire. And says, so as much as in me. You know what? He says that, you know, it's in me. I have this desire to go and tell somebody else about Christ. We also see the outward desire, right? The desire is, of course, in him, but also he has this outward desire. You know what? He says, I am ready to preach the gospel, right? He says, I'm ready to go and tell somebody else about Christ. I'm ready to go do that. And I wonder if we all have that same mindset, saying that, you know what? Christ has done this for me. I'm ready to go and tell somebody else about Christ. I think as Christians as a whole, not even just specifically our church, but just Christians as a whole, all around the United States, all around the world, if Christians truly had that inward desire and that outward desire where they actually went and they acted upon it, I think the entire world would be different. But many times as Christians, right, not even just course, sitting in this auditorium, but all around the world, as Christians, we become comfortable. We could become comfortable just saying, you know what, I do what I'm supposed to do. I show up to church, I pray, I read my Bible. That's what I'm supposed to do. But that's not where it ends as a Christian. You know, the Great Commission, of course, tells us to go ye therefore and teach all nations, right? Baptizing them, right? And it's called the Great Commission for a reason, right? It's not the great suggestion, not the great, you know what, maybe you should do this. It's the Great Commission. It's what we're told we're supposed to go and do. How well do I do that? You know what, do I have that outward desire? It's one thing for the Holy Spirit to impress upon my heart to go maybe share the gospel with somebody or go do something for God, but putting it into action is a different step, right? Having a desire is one thing, but putting it into action is a different step. And I hope as Christians here in the church, you know what, I hope that we can put that desire into action. I hope that it's something that we look at and we say, you know what, I need to do a better job. I know in my own life, I can look at it and say, you know what, I need to do a better job sharing the gospel. Because if the Apostle Paul felt this way about it, and just so you know, the Apostle Paul's, I think, my favorite character in the Bible. Just reading about his life, I enjoy it. And if the Apostle Paul feels this way, the man that wrote half of the New Testament, the man that went on these missionary journeys, did all these things, and turned his life completely around, if he felt this way, who am I to say, you know what, I shouldn't feel that way? You know, it's easy to say, well, that's just the Apostle Paul, but no, if he feels indebted to people, if he feels that he should be going and sharing the gospel, I have no excuse not to as well. So we looked at, of course, his inward desire, his outward desire, and then even his onward desire, right? There, the last phrase of it says, to you that are in Rome also. Paul always had this desire to go to Rome. And you might say, well, what was so special about Rome? Really, during that time, Rome was the center of basically the world. And so Paul's desire, it wasn't just to go to Rome, just to go to Rome. It was, he's saying that, you know what, this is an area to where there are so many people that don't have the gospel. And it's an opportunity for me to go and share the gospel with them. All right? But he didn't immediately go to Rome. All right? If you read throughout Paul's life, he talks about it a lot. He talks about going to Rome. He talks about his desire for Rome. But he doesn't just immediately head to Rome. That's not where God put him. And you know what? It could be the same said about us where, you know, maybe God hasn't put us in a giant city to go try to win over a giant city. Well, just like the Apostle Paul, he didn't start in Rome. You know, that's where maybe his ultimate goal was, where he desired to go and share the gospel. But that's not where he was. It could be the same for us. You know, maybe God has us in Loganville for a reason. Snellville in a reason. Lawrenceville for a reason. You know, wherever we might be, you know what, God has us there for a reason. And it's not to immediately just try to jump to the biggest city and go try to win that city. But God puts people in places for specific reasons. So Paul had this desire to go to Rome. Rome was the center of the world. It was his ultimate goal for the gospel, was to go to Rome. And I would ask you, you know, what is your ultimate goal for the gospel? You know, not that we're necessarily a Paul traveling around preaching everywhere, but it can be different for everyone. But I want you to think about just in your own life, what is your goal for the gospel? I think if we're being truthful, probably a lot of people don't have a goal. Don't have something that they've said and they said, you know what, if the Lord allows me to, I want to do this. Here's my goal for it. And you know, it can be as simple as just sharing it with people. It can be as simple as sharing it with, you know, if I haven't been sharing it with anybody, it can be as simple as, Lord, give me 5 people this week to share the gospel with. It can be simple. It doesn't have to be a, Lord, allow me to preach in front of thousands of people or do anything like that. It doesn't have to be some crazy out there thing, but it has to be. I think it's important for us to have goals. We're getting ready to start up basketball season, and I've mentioned it before where I like to coach basketball, but we always put a goal. Even when I was a not coaching, but even a player, I can remember always coaches putting a goal in for our team, whatever that season might be. You know what? And sometimes if you got a really good team, that goal can be high, right? Sometimes when you're not as talented a team, sometimes that goal is a lot lower, right? But we always try to put in a goal, and the purpose of that goal is so that you're trying to reach something throughout that year. It's not just a, you know what, hey, let's show up and see what happens. We set goals for a reason. We set goals so that we kind of have that line to try to get to accomplish whatever it might be. And those goals can look different for everyone. You know, your goals when you were probably 25 were probably a lot different than your goals are going to be right now in life. Even if you didn't sit down and write down goals at 25, probably whatever your desires were at that age, I would imagine for everyone, they end up being a lot different years later. You know, and that it might be because you've accomplished some of those goals. It might be because you lost interest in some of those goals. But whatever it might be, you know what? There should be a goal for the gospel in our life. And it might be as simple as, Lord, if you'll have me do it, I'll teach Sunday school. Or I'll step in this ministry. I'll do this. I'll tell others about Christ. Whatever it might be, I would encourage you to find a goal for the gospel in your life. I say it doesn't have to be something major. It doesn't have to be something that's going to be kind of life-changing, you know, quitting a job and preaching or anything like that. But what's your goal for the gospel? Do you have a goal? If you don't have one, I would encourage you to find one and set one. So we've looked at, you know, Paul's debt to the people, Paul's desire to tell others. And lastly tonight, we'll look at Paul's purpose. In verse number 16, it says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." We see the strength of the gospel, right? Paul says right there in it, he says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." I think that's a powerful statement. Paul saying, you know what, it doesn't matter who's there, who's watching, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Would I have that same attitude and mindset in my life? I don't know. And when I think about that verse, my mind immediately goes to when I went to Israel my senior year of high school. We stood there where kind of on the same floor there where Paul would have been standing before King Agrippa, and he gives him the kind of, he gives him the gospel, and he says, you know what, this is the gospel and this is what you need to do. And realizing that Paul standing there before him, the punishment could have been severe, you know, and ultimately the response Paul gets is, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." Paul had this boldness about him. He said, you know, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel." You know, he presented it to people that could have killed him. Ultimately, people that wanted to kill him. But Paul still said, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ." And I would ask you, you know, are we ashamed of the gospel of Christ? I think the easy answer is, of course, our immediate answer would just be no. You know, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. But that answer can change if we're in a situation and circumstance where it becomes uncomfortable. You know, it's easy to not be ashamed of the gospel when you're kind of in a safe environment. And sometimes it's, you're not really going to be in a situation where you would be in an unsafe environment sharing the gospel. But I think the situation can always change when we're in different circumstances. Sometimes it becomes harder to share the gospel with different people. I would say for myself, you know, it becomes harder for me to share the gospel if I've already shared it with somebody and they said, "That's not for me," and just outright rejects it. It becomes harder to share the gospel with that person again. Not that I shouldn't, not that I should feel different about it, but feeling that rejection, sometimes it becomes harder to share the gospel with those people again. But Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel. And that should be my same mindset, that I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of what God's done for me. I need to tell others about him. And the second thing, part of this verse, we see, you know what, the safety of the gospel. It says, you know what, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. You know what, ultimate safety is found in salvation. For those that loved ones and those that you care about, their ultimate safety is going to be found when they find Jesus Christ as their Savior. That's why I think it's important. Share the gospel with even loved ones, people that we're close to. Because the only way they're going to find true peace is through the gospel. And the Apostle Paul, he says it right here. You know what? The power of salvation to everyone that believeth. You know what? And then the last part of that verse goes on and says, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. You know, the plan of salvation, the plan of the gospel, it's meant for everyone. It's not meant for just a certain group of people, just a small group of, you know, the Jewish people, even though, of course, that's where the gospel came first to the Jew, just like the verse says, but also to the Greek. But when he says to the Greek also, he's not leaving out everyone else. That's just the phrase that he's using. You know, it came to the Jew first, but also to the Greek. The Greek just being everyone else, right? All Gentiles, as they would say. You know, it's meant for everyone. The gospel is meant for everyone. But I would ask, you know what, do I treat it like it's meant for everyone? Because a lot of times, like I've said already tonight, it's easy to share the gospel with somebody. Sometimes it's hard to share the gospel with someone. It doesn't always it's not always a convenient, easy conversation to have. But it's a conversation that's a matter of eternity. It's a conversation that, you know, that person can take and they can change their entire life. You know what, just like the Apostle Paul, his life was totally flipped upside down when he accepted Christ as his Savior. That's the power of the gospel. That's what the gospel can do. That's what the gospel will do. And so ultimately, we have a debt that we owe. And it's not a debt of financial. It's not that we owe this money to God and we have to pay this money to God. No, the debt that we owe is we owe telling others about Christ. That's the debt that we owe to anyone, a stranger, a random person. We owe them that debt of sharing the gospel with them. Like I said, I'm not going to sit here and say, you know what, you should be sitting there sharing the gospel with every single person that you come in contact with on a daily basis. That would almost be impossible. You wouldn't be able to get anything else done in life. But it should constantly be on my mind. And when the Lord impresses somebody upon my heart to talk to them about the gospel, I should act on it. And just like the Apostle Paul, you know what? He started out by saying he's a debtor. He owes this to people. He owes it, you know, in verse number 14 said, you know, I'm a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and the unwise. You know what? Apostle Paul, he says, you know, I'm a debtor. I owe this to people. And it's not because they necessarily did something for me. It's because of what God's done for me in my life. And it's the same way in our life, where we need to look at it as I'm a debtor, not necessarily to those people as individuals, but God's done so much for me in my life that I have to go and tell others about them. It shouldn't be I'll think about it, I'll consider doing it. We should treat it like a debt that we owe, because that's exactly what the Apostle Paul says. He says, I am a debtor to them. And if the Apostle Paul is a debtor to them, we are as well. We're a debtor to these people. We owe them simply sharing the gospel with them. And the great thing about the gospel is it's free, right? It doesn't cost us money. It doesn't cost us anything. It's simply believing, putting our faith in Jesus Christ. And then it's just sharing that with others. And that can come in many different ways, right? I've thought about this. You know, of course, as an individual, it should be my goal to share the gospel with people. But there's also other ways that I can do this. There's different ways, different possible, different events that we host here at the church. And sometimes it can be as simple as inviting them. And kind of they get a foot in the door. I can think about several events that we do that, you know what, it'd be easy to invite somebody to. They'll get to hear a presentation of the gospel. There's several things that happen all throughout the year that we do. Even just getting close to, this we'll have a fall festival coming up to where, you know, it's an easy opportunity just to invite people. And they just get to come on campus. And they get to, you know, say, hey, it's a normal place. Maybe we should try it out. Maybe we should come to service. We have the Christmas cantata coming up. You know, and that's a chance to invite somebody. Hey, just come listen to some music. You know, and it's an easy way to invite somebody, and then they get to hear the message of the gospel. It doesn't always have to necessarily just be I'm going to try to just share the gospel till they accept it. Sometimes it's an invitation to something. I can think of all kinds of different situations where I've heard of different people getting saved through different ways. Right? It doesn't always have to just be it's not a set in stone one way. I can remember here recently in the BIA class that Pastor was teaching, we were going over some stuff, and he asked us about, well, tell me about when you got saved. You know, it's just a few of us guys in there, but basically all of our stories were different, right? And that's how the gospel works. It's not everyone just has the same story where they came to church and then went down to the altar and prayed. You know what? Each and every one of us had a different story of how it happened. In different areas, different parts of life, right? It's the gospel's not has to be done one time, one way. It's meant to be whenever, wherever. It can be at a kids camp. It can be at a Wednesday night service. It can be a Sunday service. It can be, you know, even at your own home. It doesn't matter. But I am a debtor to those people. I should be telling others about Christ. The Apostle Paul says that he is a debtor. I am also a debtor. And we saw Paul's desire to go and tell others. Right? He had that inward desire, which led to his outward desire and the things that he did. And even looking ahead and having a plan for the gospel. Paul had that plan. And ultimately, he traveled around. He did so many things, the Apostle Paul. But he always wanted to go to Rome. And he said that was his goal, was you can see it all throughout Scripture. I want to go to Rome and share the gospel. What is our goal when it comes to sharing the gospel? It might not be Rome, but what is it? If we don't have one, let's make one. And then Paul's purpose. We looked at, you know, the gospel, and we looked at, you know what, ultimately his purpose and his strategy for the gospel was to share it with other people. And tonight, I just wanted to open up this passage and encourage you as a Christian. You know, when the Apostle Paul's speaking on these things, I think the same thing applies to us in our lives. You know, and of course, it might look different now. Everyone's life's going to be different. It's not going to all be, like I said, standing behind a pulpit and preaching or even teaching a Sunday school class. But we all have a responsibility to share the gospel. And it can happen in many different ways. But ultimately, what is your plan for sharing the gospel? And I just kind of want to leave you with that and want you to think about it tonight. What is my plan for sharing the gospel? Do I have a plan? If I have a plan, what am I doing about it? Right? Because like we mentioned, having those goals and having a plan is great. But how do we reach them? How do I get there? Sometimes, you know, it might just be as simple as actually doing it. Sometimes it might be you know what, God has something bigger in store. Maybe he's starting something different. And so maybe it takes a lot more work. But ultimately, God has a plan for your life. And it involves you sharing the gospel with other people. It doesn't matter who you are or what you do. God's plan is for you to share the gospel with others. If you've accepted Christ as your Savior, that is God's plan for your life, is in some way to share the gospel with others.